One of the more famous psukim in the Parsha is when it comes to Avram leaving and what he brings with him. So obviously he brings all of his stuff. And then the last, one of the last things it says that he brought is that he brought Es hanefesh asher asu b'charan, the soul that they created in Charan. Now it should be noted, very interestingly, when am I going to get to this? Oh, maybe I already said this. Did I say this or not? When we said between Minchamar about whether or not a convert says the bracha of Shalom Asani Gai, it's a very interesting question. What's the alternative, right? Because you can't really say Hashem didn't make me a non-Jew because He did make you a non-Jew. So the question is, what can you say in replace, you know, in substitution? So the truth is that anything you would say in the positive would negate saying all three, right? I don't know if you talked about it. We talked about it. I don't know if you remember. So the question is, can you even say Sha'asani Yehudi? Can you say the words, Hashem made me a Jew? Because first of all, Hashem didn't make me. It was my decision. In my own Bechira, I decided to be Jewish, to become Jewish. The Darkei Moshe, however, says we have a precedent for calling a convert created Jewish. What is that precedent? From Avram Avinu. Es hanefesh asher asu b'charan. Did Avram Avinu make these people converts? No, presumably the converts chose to be converts.
Dangerous way to say it.
So why does the pasuk say Es hanefesh asu b'charan? Because that's how you refer to creation of people, is how you influence them, you help them to go on their journey. So too with Hashem, you could say this is what the Darkei Moshe. Some people disagree. The Darkei Moshe says that, which is the Rama, by the way. The Darkei Moshe says that a convert could potentially say the actual phrase Sha'asani Yehudi. Because of this pasuk, Sha'asanefesh Asu B'charan. Interesting, Rashi says, what does it mean? Asu B'charan? They made in Charan? So obviously it's referring to not only Avram, but also to Sarah. And Rashi says that Avram Megayras Ha'anashim, Sarah Megayras Ha'anashim. She would convert the women, Avram would convert the men, and they would go on their way. So when Avram goes to Eretz Canaan, when he goes to El Ha'aret Asher Ar'eka, to the place where Hashem is going to show him, so he's bringing with him not only a lot of stuff, which we know he had a lot of because he was enriched by Paro. Well, that's, I guess, afterwards, so not necessarily the case. But he had stuff. Kol Rechusham Asher Rechashu. And then it says, and they had a whole caravan, not only of stuff, but of people. They had tons of people. We do know later on in the Parsha that he had a lot of animals that also could have been from Paro. So it's not exactly clear what he had at this point. By the way, there's a big debate as to what the chronology of this week's Parsha is. There are a lot of things that are not very clear, that the Briskin of Misarim happened 30 years before Yitzchak, but he didn't have Yitzchak until he was 99 or something like that, right?
Right.
She was 90 and he was 100. Something like that. And then at the same time, we know that he didn't actually get to Canaan until he was 75. So what does that mean? That means that the Bris Ben HaBesarim must have happened before Lech Lecha, which is a crazy thing to think about. That we always assume that the beginning of the Avram story is Lech Lecha, but the truth is, the chronology might be different. Hashem might have made a commitment and a bris, a covenant, with Avram, even before he had even gotten the message of Lech Lecha, which is just an interesting thing to think about theologically. Yeah.
If I read in Midrash, he took trips to see his father after we went to Canaan.
Yeah, that could be.
And then he was told, yeah, that's it.
That could be. There might have been other trips, and we saw already at the end of the Parsha last week that Terach had brought the family to Canaan, or was going towards Canaan.
Haran.
Doesn't say whether or not that was the same trip which they'd never made, or whether that's a separate trip that they then settled back in Haran, but either way. So Avram Avinu is Es HaNefesh HaAsu B'charan, they've got all these converts. Saul Ruby last week asked a very important question. If this is true, that Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu actually created a bunch of converts, well then how is it that when we went to Egypt, it said, B'shivim nefesh yardu avosecha mitzrayma, right? In Kisavo it says that. We say it in the Haggadah. That with 70 souls, our forefathers went down to Egypt. 70 souls, what are the 70 souls? Well, you count all the tribes and all the children, and you come to 70. Wait a second. The people that went down to Egypt shouldn't only be made up of tribes. What about the nefesh asher asu b'charan? Were all those people that weren't biologically related to Yaakov, that weren't biologically part of the Shvatim?
So that's something we talked about, like when you first came, I think.
Which was
the fact that the 70 people were only the offspring of Yaakov directly,
right?
Because it also doesn't say the wives of
Everyone okay, good. So there are clearly people that are missing. There are definitely clearly people that are missing in the 70. But nonetheless, Rav Henoch mi Alexander, also an offshoot of Pshischa, asked the question, Ish'elos ha-sheila, ma haya b'sofam shel osam gerim? What happened to these converts? Do we ever hear from them again? Halo eina muskarim b'shemakam? We really don't. We've never found, oh, this is one of the converts from Avram Avinu. Right? He never says, never references that concept. Baram says, Rav Henoch mi Alexander, Achare pitraso shel Avram Avinu. After Avram died, after Avram passed away, this is, by the way, I said this over to a friend of mine who was in Kollel and with me in Yeshiva University, and he like didn't believe it. It's like this is a groundbreaking chiddush, and it's in some ways hard to swallow, but we'll see. Harder to swallow than the cholent you're eating. Achare pitraso shel Avram Avinu lo ratzu lihitstarif el Rabam hachadash. After Avram died, they did not want to connect. They didn't want to assume their new Rebbe. Who was their new Rebbe? Yitzchak Avinu. Mishum she'etzal Avram Avinu ro'u rak midas ha'chesed. Because by Avram Avinu, everything was beautiful. Everything was loving. Everything was kindness. Chesed. Everything was chesed. Tztaka gmilas chasad ha'chnasas orchim. V'lo yachlu lehistagel b'lemidas ha'pachad v'agveros. They couldn't turn over to a new Rebbe whose midah wasn't chesed, but was gevura and din. Sticking to the actual letter of the law. Not the loving, this is so fun, this is so enjoyable type stuff, but the obligation stuff. The stricture of Judaism. Shel Yitzchak v'amru, kil achre Avram ein od more v'rebi b'shvilam. There's no more teacher for us. Lefikach nasogu achor v'chazru l'suram. Therefore they said, if Judaism is about din, if Judaism requires me to keep all of the halachos, then I'm out of the game. I'm done. I don't want this anymore. I loved it when it was all fun and games with Avram Avinu. He loved us. He brought us in four doors in his tent. Hachnasas Orchem. He had us every day of the week. We had such a good time. We sang songs. There was music. It was wonderful. And then Yitzchak comes along. And he's telling us, you got to daven shacharis, and you got to learn Torah, and you got to do tzedakah on your own. All of a sudden, they didn't want it anymore. All of a sudden, it became a burden. It was for them; it wasn't enjoyable anymore.
The Rebbe used to say that Yitzchak's avoda was digging wells.
Well, the Rabbeinu B'chai has a shtickle on that.
Okay, so digging wells means digging wells internally as well. Uh-huh. Symbolically.
You're really introspect. You mean?
Bringing out the hidden holiness and goodness.
So there's a fascinating piece from Rabbeinu B'chaya that maybe we'll get to in a different context. He's not from Shischa, so we can't talk about him here. But Rabbeinu B'chaya explains that when Yitzchak digs the wells, Asher Chafru Avdei Avram, is that the pasuk says? Something like that. Asher Chafru Bimei Avram, something like that. Bimei Avi, yeah, that could be. So Rabbeinu B'chaya says that means that Yitzchak redug the souls of Es HaNefesh Asu B'charan. That he found those people that had connected to Avram, he brought them back. Whatever that means, we'll have to go through it at a different time, in a different place. But that's also another possible interpretation, that Yitzchak might have lost him at the beginning, but brought him back later.
There's also with the idea that following Avram, not even necessarily that they couldn't accept Yitzchak's psak halacha, but even just the fact that when people follow one leader, mm-hmm. if they're not introduced to the next one, like Moshe,
right.
And he introduced Yoshua, and uh-huh. he had Yoshua. If he didn't, then they may have
been able to get away. Right, we talked about that in one of my women's classes. I talked about that. We might have talked about it otherwise also. But it's interesting because this morning I was teaching the 6th and 7th grade boys at Farber. I was teaching them the story of Shmuel Bet, the beginning of Shmuel Bet, or towards the beginning of Shmuel Bet. So Avner basically says to Ishbosheth, you're not the same as your dad. Right? I was all in for Shaul, you're not the same guy. And Avner basically flexes his muscles at Ishbosheth, and Ishbosheth, much like his name explains, was very, like, you know, very sheepish. And it was like afraid of Avner, and he couldn't take it. So we'll go into the story a little deeper and see what happens later. But it's interesting that sometimes the the ones who assume the throne are not in any ways the same as their father. And I always think of Gladiator when I think of that concept. But we could talk about, we'll definitely talk about that at a different time. Yeah.
I'm having a chronology issue. Right?
Okay.
So.
You were born.
Not yeah. that. Thank you. Abraham was lived for a long time after he handed over the reins to Yitzchak.
He had
more kids, sent them away. But
Keturah, yeah.
When was the transition that from Abraham to Yitzchak?
We don't have a lot of information. We really don't.
But a lot of time went by. At least
we have a lot of time. I will say, maybe I'll talk about this at one point. I heard a Rav once talk about this, that the influential years of Avram that we know about, that were explained in the Torah, are only during the times that Sarah was alive. It's really a fascinating thing to think
after
about.
After
Akedah Yitzchak, we don't hear Avram doesn't do anything. He lives for another, 40 years? 35 years? How old was he?
He was 137. He lived another 43 years.
So he lives a lot longer. Avram Avinu, the beginning of monotheism. All of a sudden, Sarah dies, and you don't hear anything about him.
But Yitzchak also doesn't.
Well, he handed over to
Yitzchak is a different story. Yitzchak is a different story. He had handed over, but he's still around. Like, there's nothing to talk about in the last 40 years of his life.
It's now about Yitzchak.
At the end, when Avram passes away, and Yaakov and Esau bury him, yeah.
Getting 70 years. I'm getting 70 years from the time Avram brought the souls with him to when he handed over to Yitzchak. Could have been 70 years. And it could be even more. It could go 110 years if I go the full life of Avraham. They might have just found something else.
Okay.
Maybe, or winter soldiers like you.
I don't know.
The Medrash, by the way, isn't only about the burial. The Medrash is about that Esav didn't have the influence of Avraham. Yaakov did.
Uh-huh.
That they used to learn together.
Okay.
Something.
We'd have to recheck that. But what's interesting, I think, about this shtickle from Rav Henoch of Alexander is, I think it speaks very deeply to our generation, to our era, because the American era is not the era of, you know, early America or of early, you know, downtrodden shtetl life in Europe, where everyone had to sort of pull themselves up by their bootstraps and make ends meet. Right? We're in an America which is all about luxuries and all about, convenience and things that are at my fingertips and things showing up at my doorstep instead of going out to the store and getting it. And oftentimes we sort of get into this routine where everything in life is about what's most convenient and what's easiest, what's most enjoyable. And even though Avram is always a model for us to link to that concept of the love and the kindness and all the things that are good and feel comfortable, we all need a good dose of Yitzchak. We also have to be aware and cognizant of the fact that life requires obligations. It requires commitments that aren't easy. And I think Yitzchak is in some ways indicative of that. And unfortunately, the Hanefesh She'asu B'charan of Avraham didn't always translate to Yitzchak, who was demanding much more than just a good time. But we have another idea on the Parsha. And that comes from someone we have yet to quote in this class, but I quoted on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. I won't test anyone here. But this is the Rav Tzadok of Lublin. Who is Rav Tzadok of Lublin? If you remember, the drasha I gave first day of Rosh Hashanah was all about the apple and why we eat the apple and how it's really about Yaakov dressed up as Esav, but really he's still Yaakov on the inside. So either way, Rav Tzadok says, and who was Rav Tzadok? So Rav Tzadok was, I believe, there were a couple like contemporaries that he considered himself the Talmud of, but effectively I think he was a student of the Mea Shilach, or of Mordechai Yosef Liner of Ishbitz. So on the Pasuk of Lech Lecha, he has a very interesting diuk, that maybe you never picked up on, but is really a very basic grammatical error, or what seems to be a grammatical inconsistency, I'll call it. When you say that you're going away from something, so what's the word that you use? That you're leaving it, right? You're leaving it. What do you say when you're going to end up in a new place? You're going to this place. You're leaving that place. And what does the first pasuk of the parsha say? Lech lecha me'artzecha. Go from there. What do you mean, go from there? It should be leave there. Tzei me'artzecha. Tzei mimolatzecha. Tzei mibeis avicha. It says lech lecha me'artzecha. Go from there. What do you mean? You can't go from somewhere. You go to somewhere. So says Rav Tzadok, yeah.
Okay.
Yesh lahavin. Lach lecham eretz dehavalei lemeimar tsemei artzecha. V'lech el haaretz. When it gets to the end of the pasuk, you can talk about lech, because you're going to the place where Hashem is going to show you. You're going to Eretz Yisrael. Ach en hikot, zohar, etc. He's oftentimes very dense in terms of his sources, and oftentimes I have to sort of evaluate what he's saying, what he's not saying. But here he says something very clearly. And this is somewhat of some heavy chasidus here. Maybe Sam can help us out with the depths of it. Ach ha'inyan al pimashkas v'zor ha'kadosh. Lech lecha la'askana garamcha la'askana darga dilach v'chuli v'haynu she'amar lei. And this is what Hashem says. She'af she'nolad mitarach. Shehaya oved avarazara v'makam shehaya she'tufin v'avarazara. Lo yifached mizeh she'adarabah. Don't be afraid of the fact that you came from Terach. Rather, exactly the opposite. Mizeh atzmo yuchal leilech ulhagil madrigaso. Specifically, from the fact that you were in a house of Avodah Zarah, that's how you can raise to great heights. Vadas mashikasuv uvikashtem yishamas Hashem elkecha umatasa v'hu achar shenamar v'hefis Hashem eschem ba'amim gomer ayir achlu avchem lihisyaish penchas v'shalom tiskalkulu gamrei ki adarabah. Don't think that because you were in Galus and because you were all in all these other nations, that therefore you have chas v'shalom, a risk of going either even further down, but rather exactly the opposite. Ki adarabba, misham daika uveikashtem. Specifically from the depths of the other nations, you can find Hashem. V'gomer v'sheha galus yigrom. Because the galus, the exile itself, is going to cause you ki sidrashenu b'chol avavcha v'chol nafshcha v'ayidei zeh uvikashtem umatzasam. Right? It's specifically through the galus that we recognize the geula. And this is something we talked a little bit about from the Ema Banu Smecha, one of my first weeks here, Shal Shudas, that the words galus and geula are very closely connected. Right? The gimel, the vav, the lamed, the hey. It's the aleph that's in the middle of geula that changes everything. That it's through the galus, when you add a little bit of Hashem, that it changes everything. But it's through the galus. What happens on a psychological level? I'll speak psychologically because I can't really speak Kabbalistically. Psychologically, the fact that you're in a place which does the wrong thing teaches you how to do the right thing. Right? The fact that Avram Avinu grew up with Terach, the fact that he was an Oved Avodah Zarah, was what led him to start thinking about Hashem. Imagine if Avram Avinu lived in someone's house that didn't care for Avodah Zarah. You would never have an Avram Avinu. We would never have monotheism. We would never have Judaism. At least not from Avram Avinu. The fact that he lived with Terach is specifically what caused him to become so great. The fact that he was able to recognize what was wrong with the world is what helped him grow in the world. And that's what Sezer of Sarok is the meaning of Lech Lecha Mei Artzecha. Because you are going from your homeland. How are you going? How are you going onto this journey? It's from your house. Not that you're leaving your house, but that you have grown through your house. That was your journey. The Lech Lecha Mei Artzecha, you have gone, you have progressed through being in Terach's house. The journey was the house. Was all the problems that he saw in his homeland? Was all the problems that he saw in his father's home? Specifically, through those difficulties, he was able to rise up and recognize what he needed to do.
Which means that the Vayetzi already happened much earlier. He already left. He made his choice.
Right. Well, there's a physical Vayetzi and then there's a spiritual Vayetzi. But yeah, the spiritual Vayetzi must have happened a long time ago. But the halicha, the progress, the journey had already started while he was in Terach's house. And we actually have an interesting concept, which I guess corroborates this, which is that when it comes to either next week or in Chayisar, I think, it says, V'Avram Zakein Baba Yamim. And I think the Zohar also says, Baba Yamim, he was able to bring all of his days to be accounted for. That Avram was able to point to every single day and said, I made the most of that day. I did what I had to do on that day. But there's a huge kasha on that. You were able to account for every single day. Avram Avinu, for the first 40 years of your life, you were an Oved Avodah Zarah. What could you possibly account for when you were 40 years old? Before you were 40, you were an Oved Avodah Zarah. So presumably based on this, we can say the same thing. That those times being in that house of Avodah Zarah was part of his Avodah Hashem. That sounds strange, and it's not something I would l'chadchila promote or encourage. But the fact that he was able to recognize and have the sensitivity about what Avodah Zarah is what caused him to be a great Oved Hashem.
Was a really religious man.
Yeah, he was definitely religious.
He spent his days making gods.
Right, well, for sure. He was very from. Yeah,
his name was mentioned twice at the end of Noah because he, and it says that he, that meant he did tshuva, that he had a place in the world.
Who,
to come.
Who, Terah?
Terah. Yeah,
there might be a message like that.
And then he left Ur Chazdim, went to Haran, and to get them out of there, not just for their safety, but for their. That he had already started the process of tshuva, that Abraham was honoring him, and that God's telling him to leave his father, leave, go from your father, go, you know, because that's what he's telling him to do. You're making starting a new people.
Yeah,
it's
another
interpretation.
Yeah,
but Terah was, you know, could a righteous man by that point.
That could be according to that metrish. It could be, but what we see is that oftentimes in life. We're in a difficult situation, and our immediate instinct is, oh, this could get a lot worse. This could lead me down into a bad path. But the truth is that, according to Rav Tzedek, in this situation, at least for Avraham Avinu, it was the instigator of his growth. That he, in his depths, he was able to realize what he needed to do. It was through the Gullus that he found the Gula. And it's because of that that Avraham Avinu was able to become an Avraham Avinu. And oftentimes it's hard to see the silver lining when it's such a difficult situation, but oftentimes we can always turn it on its head and say, this can be an opportunity of growth, that I know it's so bad now, but I should use how bad it is right now in order to propel myself forward. I remember when I was in middle school, I think it was middle school, maybe early high school, and we played a basketball game and it was not good. Like we were working really hard and, you know, we were devastated when we lost. It was some big rivalry, some, you know, team we really wanted to beat, maybe a local Jewish school or something like that, and we lost. And it was devastating. And I remember the next practice, our coach got up and said, I want you all to really feel how bad this feels. I want this to really hurt you. Because the amount of hurt that you feel from this loss is what's going to motivate you to win the next time. And that's what I think about when I think of Avraham Avinu. The fact that he was in such a low place was what allowed him to propel him to become an Avraham Avinu. And if it wasn't for his time in Terach's house, of course it's not an ideal place to be. But it's something that you're able to grow from, and something you're able to recognize what's wrong in order to do what's right. So we started with Yitzchak, in some ways in the opposite direction, that Avraham Avinu taught these Geirim to be people of Chesed. Yitzchak came along and taught them to be people of Din, and they didn't take to it. We all have to have a little bit of Din in our life, a little bit of recognition that life is not always comfortable and it requires some sacrifice. And then secondly, we saw from Rav Tzedek of Lublin that oftentimes when we have difficulty and we have those times of sacrifice, they can become great times of growth if we at least look at it in the way that we are going to be motivated by it and hopefully be propelled into success through that depths. That geula oftentimes specifically comes from gullus. Okay, shkayach. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.